Father, we thank you for your word, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Yes. Father, I thank you today for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher, and you never neglect us, and you never are unwilling to teach us. So, Father, grant us a teachable heart today, Lord, to receive what Holy Spirit wants to share with us today. Give us revelation, Lord. And Holy Spirit, please, we are asking, empower us to not just be hearers, but to be doers of what we learn today, so that we can give glory and honor to your name, Jesus, so that all men will be drawn to you, Jesus. Amen. True Prosperity, page 15 in your syllabus. As I mentioned there, the following thoughts are gleaned from a teaching by Kenneth Copeland. As I mentioned before, Tammy had blessed me with this teaching, and he said a lot more than this, but I just gleaned from this to go with the syllabus, okay? Still praying. Well, actually, I feel like the Lord has given a direction concerning the next study we're going to go into, but it's going to be a surprise, so I'm not going to tell you yet. But it's going to go right in connection with this, and I think you're going to find it very, very insightful. God's kingdom. Did you know you work for God? You can work for God. Yeah. Could you ever imagine that you can work for God? You can work for God. You can invest in His kingdom. Did you know you could invest in the kingdom of God? How do we invest in the kingdom of God? By investing in the gospel. Every time you give into missions, every time you give your first fruits, tithe, and offerings, vow commitments, everything you bring to church, you are investing in the gospel. Because that is the purpose of the church, is to get the good news out, right? Mm-hmm. How important is that? Well, Jesus won't come back until everyone's heard the gospel. So I would say that's extremely important. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we should not get comfortable in this world. We should be crying out. The Greek word is Maranatha. Maranatha. You'll see that in the King James translations. You don't always see that in other translations. But Maranatha means come, Lord Jesus, come. It means come. See, the early church they were not getting comfortable. When Jesus left, they were expecting him to come back the next day when they saw him ascend. They didn't think they would die before they saw him coming back. Amen? So we as a church, the body of Christ, we do not want to get comfortable in this world. This is not our home. God's going to redo this with the holy fire. He's going to sanctify the earth. No, he's not going to annihilate the earth. I'm not concerned about nuclear weapons or nuclear warfare. I said I'm not concerned about... I am concerned about the enemy having something he shouldn't have. But I'm not concerned about nuclear warfare. You know why? Mm-hmm. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He is going to remake this earth, but he's going to do it with a holy fire. Oh, that's a counterfeit. Yes. That's a counterfeit. Mm-hmm. Do I pray about the enemy having those things? You better. You should. You're commanded to. Okay. Selah. Pause and think about that. Let that marinate. But the earth belongs to God, and so does the world. So does the world. The world belongs to God. Jackie administered this again a couple months ago, and I remember it. You know, people say the world's gone to the whatever, whatever. There's no hope for the world. The world belongs to God. The world and the earth belongs to God. God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the good news. You can invest in that good news when you invest in the kingdom of God. That's why it's important where you put your money. As a believer, you can't contribute to every cause. Okay, come on now. They call my house all the time. And I don't mind telling them. After I tell them, the conversation's over. I give through my church. I believe in what you're doing. But I give through my church, or I give to the individual. End of the conversation. That's it. I'm going to give. You cannot give to every cause.
That's right.
You cannot give to every cause and can't pay your monthly bills.
That's true.
Hello, Selah.
Yes. Yes.
God is. I, okay. God is not obligated to bless everything you give if you don't seek Him for where you should give and what you should do. He's not obligated to bless you for it. It's just as important where you give. Okay? I'm not going to sow my tomato plants into contaminated ground. I'm not going to do it. You have to sow where you know it's good ground. And you're going to get a good return. Okay. You can't give to every cause. It might be a good cause, but you can't give to every cause. Okay, we can work for Him. We can invest in His kingdom by investing in the gospel. You are an heir to the kingdom. Did you know that? Okay, first of all, you can work for God. You can invest in His kingdom. And you're an heir to the company, to the kingdom. If you're an heir to the kingdom, then you ought to be concerned of the condition of the kingdom. Oh, yeah. Think about it in the natural. If you own a company, aren't you concerned about that company?
Of course.
Yes. So if you work for God and you're an heir and you're going to inherit, yes, and we're going to get scripture for that, you have inherited the kingdom of God. You've been made co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Jesus says, I'm not afraid to call them my brethren. You are co-heir. You have equal ownership with Christ Jesus in the kingdom of God. Did you realize that? So I don't want to be a lazy worker in the kingdom of God. Look at that. You're not a sub-heir. Now, Noel can probably give us a little bit more information on a subcontractor, but this is what came to me. A sub-heir or some subcontractor. And you correct me if I'm wrong on this, okay? A subcontractor doesn't know everything about the project.
That's correct.
He only knows what he's involved in a certain part. I'm not a sub-heir to the kingdom of God. I'm an heir to the kingdom of God. The Father wants me to know everything about the kingdom of God, everything about the building project, everything about what He's doing and going, what He's up to in the earth. Amen. He doesn't leave me out of part of any of it. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, I no longer call you a servant. I call you
friend.
Yes. You abide in the house. Because someone outside of the house doesn't know what's going on in the house. But you've been brought in Christ Jesus. You've been brought into the house. And you can know everything that's going on in the Father's kingdom. Why? So you can invest in it. And you can invest properly into the kingdom of God. Amen? Okay. That's a blessing right there. That is a blessing. So, you are an heir to the kingdom, not a sub-heir, but you're a joint owner and an heir. You're a joint owner. So you should have concern about the kingdom of God. I heard Ossie Jones say this years and years ago, and never forget it. He says, as a Christian, you ought to be concerned about the spiritual condition of your brother, your sister in Christ. You ought to be very concerned about that. If they're your brother and sister in Christ, they're an heir to the kingdom of God, you should be very concerned about their spiritual condition. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's look up those. Who wants to look up Romans 8, 15 through 17? I added 15 to it, not in your notes, but if you'll jot, let's start at verse 15. And while, let's also get someone to do Ephesians 2:10. Got that? Okay, so let's read. Annette's going to read for us
Romans 8, starting at 15. For you have not received the spirit of slavery again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him.
Amen. So we've been made heirs, co-heirs in Christ Jesus. Now we have Ephesians 2:10.
Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Okay. So we have been, the Amplified Translation says, we have been recreated in Christ Jesus to do the good works that God predestined for us to do, that we should do them and walk in them. Now do you see that we're a workman? We're God's workmanship to do something, to work. God is a worker. God is not lazy. God is a worker. He is very concerned about the family business, and that is the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why he sends the Holy Spirit to teach us, to groom us, and to teach us that we could do the work, that we would prepare us, to tutor us to what the kingdom is about. He will teach you. Just open the word, Holy Spirit. Teach me about the kingdom of God today. Teach me today, Father. I am a worker in your kingdom. What do you need done today, Father? I'm reporting. I'm reporting for duty today, Lord, in your kingdom, God. What do you want me to do? What needs to be done today? What's the priority today in your kingdom, Father? Where are you working? Where are you moving? What do you want me to do? What is my part today? Now, there are ownership benefits for those who work in God's kingdom. But God's not going to put you in his kingdom to work and then not reward you. Well, thank you for that enthusiastic response. Let me say it again. I wish say to this side of the room, it was not that much of a side, but let me say it again to all of the room. God has not placed you in his kingdom to do a work for him and not reward you.
Amen.
There is a reward. There are benefits to being obedient to God. If you are willing and obedient, not just willing, but willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. You will have the best of the land. Case in point, all the Israelites did not make it into the promised land. They were not willing and they were not obedient. Okay? And while we're on this point, let me just make this point. Some people say that a person is promised 70 years of life. Go back to the book of Genesis. You're at least promised 120. And you can live longer than that if you want to. 70, if you go back in the Psalms, that was a psalm that Moses wrote. And that was written to the rebellious children in the wilderness.
Yes.
Because can you imagine your offspring waiting for you, working with you, waiting, when are you going to kick the bucket so I can go into the promised land? Because of their own rebellion. They were not willing and they were not obedient and they did not get the fat of the land. They did not enter into the promised land. They did not go in. There are ownership benefits for those who work in God's kingdom based on obedience and a willing heart. We are a part of the greatest, most powerful family on earth. Amen. When you belong to the family of God, you are in the best family there is on earth. The best family there is on earth. God is looking for people that will take his business to heart. And solve problems with his anointing.
Amen.
Now that's good teaching, Holy Spirit, through Kenneth Copeland. That's good teaching. God is looking for people that will take his business to heart, be serious about his word, about his kingdom, and solve problems with his anointing. I shared this with you last week, and I'll share it again today. I believe that not everyone that speaks in tongues necessarily is full of the Holy Spirit. I believe you ought to be. But Apostle Paul said, I will pray with my understanding, and I will pray in the Spirit. As I've said before, I'm not going to sit here and debate that with you. Some say that could be tongues. Zach says that might not be tongues. But Apostle Paul did say, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than you all. Now, Holy Spirit is a gift from God, and there's an evidence of speaking in tongues. And I want to encourage you something, to pray in the Spirit, to pray in tongues. When you pray in tongues, or you pray in the Spirit, however you want to put it, your understanding is unfruitful. because you're not praying with your understanding. You're praying to God, mm-hmm. the mystery and the wisdom of God, the wisdom and the mystery of God that the enemy does not understand. Mm-hmm. The mystery. Does the enemy know? Because the Word of God says you're praying the mysteries of God. Does the enemy know the mysteries of God?
No.
He does not, because the Word of God says, had he had known, he would not have crucified the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
Had he had known what? Had he had known he was going to raise from the dead.
Mm.
And then not only would he have to contend with them, he'd have to contend with us.
Mm.
That the kingdom would expand through his resurrection. That God would make us co-heirs
mm-hmm.
with him. And let me tell you, if you're not using the name of God with authority, shame on you. If you're not using the name of Jesus, I hope every one of you have been speaking of that Hurricane Matthew.
Mm.
In the name of Jesus. Not in my name, but in your name. You'll go back out to sea and you'll fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if it doesn't happen the way I pray? Well, what if it does happen the way I pray?
You won't know.
We shared this last week, where a prophecy was given in the Bible. People were going on hard times and they had to pay an exorbitant price for bread.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the passage right now. I don't remember it. Don't have it committed to memory. But the prophet prophesied, tomorrow you'll be able to go with a small amount of money and buy barley or wheat or whatever you need. And one critical guy said, well, if that's not going to happen, something to that effect, well, that's not going to happen. God would have to do so and so and so and so for that to happen. A critical spirit. Critical spirit. And the prophet said, it will happen, but you won't see it. You won't live to see it. And he did at the gate, he was trampled. We have the right. Christ did not suffer in vain. We have the right or the privilege to use his name. Now, do you think the Lord Jesus would want people to have lost, to lose their life in a hurricane?
No.
The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I've said it again, I'm going to preach on this, and I made this point last week, and I'm going to make it again. If you're praying for judgment, you better stop. You are the wrong spirit. You're of the wrong spirit if you're praying for judgment. Now, I'm going to prove this to you when I get to teach it. Judgment's already come. I told you to check it out in the book of John. I'm not going to tell you where it is. I don't have it to commit to memory right now. It could be anywhere from chapter 13 to 17. I'm not even sure. That might even be right. But you look it up in the book of John. The Word of God says that judgment's already come, and this is how men are judged. You don't need to be praying for judgment. Do you think God does not know how to take care of evil? You need to be praying for mercy.
Yes.
Wow, that's good.
You need to be praying for mercy.
Miss Kathy, so we would look at the hurricane. How do I put this? I would be looking at the hurricane because nothing can happen without God's permission.
The Lord does nothing on earth without in response to men's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just because God is all-knowing mm-hmm. does not mean he's all-approving.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. People, and maybe this answers your question, maybe it won't. People say, well, God allowed it to happen, so he must approve of it. No, God knew it was going to happen.
That's right.
He gave warnings before he always gives warnings before. 9/11, he gave warnings through David Wilkerson in New York City. He said visions and prophecy, and he prophesied about it. Okay? He's gone on to be with the Lord Jesus now. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to go there, but he had visions of fire and destruction. He said it was going to be an economical thing. Exactly what God gave him happened. There were warnings. So, because God is all-knowing, he knows it's going to happen, does not mean he is all-approving. Does not mean he approved of it.
Mm-hmm. No, what I was thinking was, and please don't scold me for this.
No.
That it came from him because of the fact that he is an almighty God.
No.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
No, I do, but it did not come from God. And mm-hmm. And I have a point on that. Let's see what Jackie and Tammy have to say on that.
But that's like saying when Jesus knew that the storm was coming, when they got into the boat mm-hmm. and they went out into the ocean, mm-hmm. did not Jesus know that the storm was going to come?
Mm-hmm.
But we need, We speak to the winds and the storm, and they will obey. We don't speak to it. That means it's not obeying because we don't speak to it. God give us that authority
to speak to it. And that is a part of that, but I'm going to get there to something. That's right. That is right. And it's like Carmen said before, and whether we want to believe it or not, it's our fault as believers. God gave us authority over the earth to do some things and speak some things. But I'm gonna get to the point. Now, Tammy,
that's what I was gonna kind of relate to is as far as our authority on the earth, because we walk by faith. When Jesus said that greater works that we will do when he's gone, because when Jesus completed his everything that he needed to do, all authority has been given to us. So until, which is why 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that when my people, which are called by my name, will turn from their ways and humble themselves and pray, then I would. So once, when we pray about the things as far as Hurricane Matthew, and Hurricane Matthew started because of things that's happened in the atmosphere. So it wasn't God that started it, but the things that happened in the atmosphere started Hurricane Matthew. But we have the authority to come against it. Even the word says that for the word's sake, we will have persecution as well. We have persecution for the word's sake, meaning that when we start to get in the word and doing God's will, then persecution comes against us because the enemy doesn't want us to squat what he's doing. Because that's what causes us to squat what he's doing, is when we start doing what the word says, because we have the authority to do it. So it wasn't God that started the hurricane, that started through other things that happened in the atmosphere, but we have the authority to speak to it, which is why we've got to get the word out, so that others will, so that everyone will know.
Okay, I'm going to address that, because I think what I'm about to address is going to answer your question. All these are good, and they do address it. I think I'm going to...
That was how I used to think, too, but that was...
Amen.
Thinking, that was how
3 points here, and I think that this is going to help. If it doesn't, then we'll keep on until we get the answer, okay? First of all, Satan is the prince of the air, of the atmosphere. There are three atmospheres. There's the heavens that we see. There's the heavenlies that are above that. Yes. And then there's the heavens, the Most High, where God sits. Okay? Okay? God has made Christ to sit down in heavenly places. That means in that atmosphere, the earth, like remember the book of Daniel where he was praying? He said, I heard your prayer from the very beginning, but the prince of Persia contended with me. And God had to send Michael the archangel to fight against the prince of Persia. Well, that was a spiritual. There are spiritual assignments that are over every nation. But God made Christ to sit down in heavenly places. Where is that? He defeated Satan and made an open spoil of him. And he sat right down there in that kingdom. But he has made us to sit with him in heavenly places. And we have to enforce the victory that he won in the heavenly places. The next point to that also is that the earth is under a curse. Do people say, well, God did something? No, they did. No, God didn't. This is the answer. Look at in the book of Romans. I don't have the scripture reference in my mind right now. The book of Romans says, now my mom taught on this one. She did a good job. I might get her to do it again. Anyway, the book of Romans says that the whole earth moans and groans. It's under a moaning and for the manifestation of the sons of men. For the men of God and the women of God to stand and say, no, I'm in Christ Jesus. And right now, saints of God, I commission all of us. Start praying about every hurricane that might be trying to form out into the ocean. Don't wait until they give it a name. Start praying about it now. Did that help?
Sort of. Because my thing was, I mean, this is what I believe I've been taught.
Okay.
Of course I was taught in this church that God is in control of all things. Nothing can happen without his permission. So I'm thinking, and this is just my opinion, so please don't cut my head off. My opinion, I thought, okay, God does allow things to happen. But it's also for people to realize he is God. He is God Almighty. and that we need to come, and not only we believers, but that for people to understand, God is God Almighty.
Yes, and He did all those things in Christ Jesus. God demonstrated in Christ Jesus that He is God Almighty mm-hmm. by He rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. The reason that things happen in the earth is because people are rebellious and they do not listen to God's mm-hmm. voice. That's when God sends warning and wants mm-hmm. to correct them. Mm-hmm. It is not God's will to kill, steal, or destroy. But God will not take away a person's free will or a person's choice mm-hmm. to make a decision to do right or to do wrong. Mm-hmm. There are consequences to doing wrong. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are consequences. We put ourselves in the wrong place, or God woke us up to pray and we didn't pray, or we went off in a wrong direction, carried away by our own lust, mm-hmm. and we got caught up in the sin and did things that we weren't supposed to do. That does not mean that God allowed that to happen, because God did not.
We put ourselves there.
Yes. Well, so it is with nature. So it is with these things that happen in nature. The earth is under a curse. It is moaning and groaning for the redemption. The return of Christ also, I know that. When He returns, He's going to set everything in order, even the things in the atmosphere and nature that are out of order. Mm-hmm. But as a believer in Christ Jesus, we have authority now. We have to stand up in that place. And we have to proclaim the victory in Christ Jesus and enforce it. In Christ Jesus. No, I am not going to. I know people mean well when they say, well, God is in control. I know that what they mean is that God is sovereign. But God is not going to do the things He's called me to do. There are some things that only God can do that I can't do. But if there are some things that I have to do that God won't do, then God's not in control of that. Just like God does not control who goes to heaven or hell. God does not control whether anybody goes to heaven or hell. Okay? So in some respect, I cannot agree that God is in control. God is sovereign. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. Maybe that's what we're trying to say. But God is not in control in the sense that He agrees with everything that happens in the earth, and He let it happen. Because it happened, it means He agreed with it. I think we just need to get our verbiage right. Maybe I think our heart means the right thing, and that means that God is sovereign. He knows what's going to happen. But we have to understand, when we say those things to people, that God is in control, we have to understand that we might be putting into their thought, into their mind, the idea, well, if this happened, God wanted it to happen. Okay? And we just have to be very careful the way we say that. That honestly is something that's going to require some more study and attention. And so we'll give it that. But I think for right now, we would be safer with God's word to say that God is sovereign. He's all-knowing. And, you know, who knows the people that God might have woke up to pray concerning Haiti and didn't get up to pray? How many times has God stirred you to get up to pray and you didn't get up to pray? I'm saying God sends warning. Am I saying it's Haiti's fault? No. I'm going to stick with the word of God. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I'm going to stick with that because that's the word. Okay?
Can you do what you just explained? The heaven.
Yes, I'll do it again.
Please.
I will. Okay, Robert had a thought. Let's share this thought. Okay.
Well, what I was going to say was, you hit on one point then about people saying God's in control. The reason why tornadoes and all that come is because the total reason because of sin. Sin is what it is, because the disobedience of Adam and Eve when God created Adam and Eve.
The curse.
Everything was perfect.
The curse.
The world would be perfect mm-hmm. if they had not disobeyed God. Mm-hmm. So the tornadoes and stuff come. But the one thing that I want to say is praise God, because when the forecaster predicted what it was going to do, I was praying, thank God, and others were praying, and it did not do what they predicted.
Amen.
So God, so the prayers were answered. It could have wiped out the whole state of Florida and everything else and killed more people and all like that. So I praise God that, you know, prayers were lifted up, and I praise God because of the prayers that he caused it not to do what they predicted it to do. So that goes back to tell you that the wisdom of man is foolishness of God, because they can predict all they want to. And if you pray and do what you're supposed to do, what we're supposed to do, then that's going to stop what Satan is trying to do. Mm-hmm. Or what sin is caused to do because of the tornadoes and what it does.
Okay.
So God's in control is one thing that really gets me upset.
Okay, I think we got that.
Yeah,
I think we got, I think we did this. We're going to, and I'm sorry, brother, but I said I was going to stop at 12:30, so I need to do that. We're going to address this a little bit more and go into detail with a little bit more, okay? This thing about God being in control. We're going to...
But she's going to finish.
We're going to...
This is going to be something that I am also concerned about.
Yes.
That same question you asked, I was about to ask, but...
Yeah.
And about judgment. Mm-hmm. So, please...
We're going to elaborate on that. We are. We will. We will. We will elaborate on that, okay? The one thing I do need to point out, if you go back to the book of Genesis, okay, when God put Adam and Eve on the earth, okay, to manage the earth, the word translates governor or overseer or magistrate, okay? He gave up his right to be magistrate or govern the earth. In the beginning, when God created the earth, there was nothing to kill, steal, or destroy, okay? So Adam gave up that. Adam gave up that when he sinned against God. He gave the keys to Satan. Okay. In Christ Jesus, Christ got back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Okay. So when Adam did that and he transferred the authority, then God gave a prophecy that the ground, that Adam would have to toil from the ground, that the woman would bear in pain, she'd bear the child, but that God would raise up a seed that would bruise the head of the enemy. And that is Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, he said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Whatever you bind on earth must be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth must be loosed in heaven. That translates...
And I got to
keep my promise, but I'm going to keep on going. We're going to discuss this, okay? So that means whatever you do, that doesn't people go around, I bind that up, I loose that up. They don't know what they're doing. They haven't studied it out. It means whatever you declare to be unlawful. If it's not allowed in heaven, it's not allowed on earth. No. Are there hurricanes in heaven?
No.
Are there hurricanes in heaven?
No.
If it says unlawful, if you declare whatever you declare to be unlawful in heaven is unlawful on earth. Whatever you declare that's unlawful on earth better be unlawful in heaven. You can go around proclaiming all kind of stuff, but if it's not lawful in heaven, it's not going to happen.
Hallelujah.
So whatever you declare to be lawful on earth must be lawful in heaven, okay?
And who sets that rule?
God sets that rule and that standard in Christ Jesus. So God, in heaven, there's no kill, stealing, or destroying. So I can, with human reasoning and by the Spirit of God, I understand that because there's no kill, death, lying, cheating, hating, all that in heaven. So this is not lawful on earth. So Hurricane Matthew, you're not lawful because you kill. You're not allowed in heaven. You're not allowed on earth. Okay?
Destruction. You cause destruction here on earth.
Amen. So, and I'm going to get back into what Sister asked me about the three atmospheres, okay? We have the keys to the kingdom. You can have keys all day long, but if you don't use them, you're not going to open any door. That's and right. Jesus said, I hold the keys to the kingdom of David. He said, I hold them, okay? And he says, I open the door that no man can shut, and I shut the door that no man can open. Mm-hmm. When you know his word, when you know the word, and you know what's lawful and not lawful, then you can declare that's not lawful on earth because it's not lawful in heaven. Now, you might say, because this is a question people ask, well, why didn't it come out the way you prayed? Because I'm telling you what, there's something about agreement in the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is going to have to get an agreement about some things.
Hallelujah.
We're going to have to get an agreement about some things. We're going to have to decide what God hates and what God loves. Okay? Now, I'm not mad at anybody, and that's a good question. I don't fault you for that, because but I've changed my thing about, but we're going to talk some more about and get some questions answered, okay? To answer your questions about the atmosphere, you can find some of this in the book of Ephesians, okay? The Word of God and the prophets say that God dwells in the most high place, the north, the heavens, okay? And then we have the most high heaven, let's say it like that. We have the heavens that we see, the stars.
Atmosphere. In,
well, I would say, you can say, I don't want to bring confusion. Okay, heavens, heavenlies, and the most, okay, well, you can say atmosphere. You want to say atmosphere? Okay. But the thing is that's in the beginning, the book of Genesis, God set these heavenly beings. He set them in the heavens. That's why I'm saying there's the heavens. He set the sun, the moon, the stars in
space.
The heavens.
Space.
Okay, space, the final frontier, space. Okay, so lighten the atmosphere in here a little bit. Okay, so we have heavens. That's where we see the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where we send the astronauts to. Then we have the heavenlies, which are above that, where the prince and the power of this air rules. He has authority there. He was cast down from heaven. Okay, from heaven. Then you have the most high heaven, where God Almighty dwells. Okay?
He took Paul there.
Yes, he did. Paul said that he took him into places that wasn't lawful for men to utter. Things he heard and saw that was not lawful for men to utter. Okay, now, get us back on track so we can move forward. I hope I didn't chop your head off. Didn't mean to chop your head off if I did. No, we have to learn.
I don't know if I was just saying it right. I don't know.
Okay, we're gonna learn. We're going to learn together. Well, obviously, we're not going to get finished with this today. So we're going to stop on the area problem for next week. We're going to look at that, okay? God is looking for people that will take his business to heart and solve problems with his anointing, okay? He has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, okay? And something else that's powerful, too, is a power of agreement. And something else, too, I'm going to add on this point that I'm going to conclude it. We talk about, well, where I pray. I use the name of Jesus, and nothing, it didn't come out like I thought. It came out. So our flesh will want to say, well, that just must have been God's will. You know why? Because the flesh is lazy. The flesh is lazy. It don't want to rise up and pray. It don't want to worship God. It don't want to seek God. And the flesh will use every excuse to get out of something it's supposed to do. We have a responsibility. We're in a war. We're in a spiritual kingdom. We're in a war. And we have a responsibility to show up for battle and to be prepared for battle every day and to use all the weapons of our warfare that God has given us with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power of Holy Spirit. And sometimes, okay, this is my point, and then you had a point that I'm going to conclude. Sometimes we pray and make a confession, and then we null and void it by the stuff that comes out of our mouth.
Well,
the next sentence, God says, sweet water and bitter water cannot come out of the same spring. We'll get up from prayer, and somebody will say something, and we're like, we're just throwing it all, everything. Watch what comes out of your mouth. If you're going to pray and ask God for something, watch the confession that comes out of your mouth. Tammy, and then we got to stop. Y'all.
What I was going to say.
Okay.
That was heard it in a message that I heard from Jerry Savelle, but that we have to be careful that we're only saying the word. We use the vocabulary of silence, and the vocabulary of silence is if we're not speaking the word and speak what we pray for. After we pray, then, because we make it null and void when we go against what we pray.
And people don't. I'm telling you, some people in the body of Christ don't believe this. They don't believe this. But it is in the Word. There was a man who God gave him the victory. Well, he said, God, if you give me the victory, I'll give you the first thing comes out of my house when I get home. I'll dedicate it to you. It was his virgin daughter.
Yes.
And she couldn't raise up seed for her family because he had committed. Let me tell you something. Be careful what you speak out of your soul in rash. Be careful what you speak out of. Yeah, we all get frustrated. We need to pray, God, put a guard over my mouth. God, put a guard over my mouth. Okay. Okay, briefly.
The thing that gets me more than anything else, and God has been dealing with me with this, instead of blaming everybody else for what I do,
mm-hmm.
accountability is not what it should be.
Take responsibility.
That's why everybody wants to blame everybody else. You did this. No, you did this. You did that. Be accountable for what you do.
Amen.
God is dealing with me. I'm going through a lot of things, and he's telling me, Robert, nobody did it for you. You did it, so take responsibility for it and correct it.
And you'll help
and
you take
that's, and that's what's wrong with the world now. Everybody wants to blame everybody else for what somebody else did.
Take your responsibility.
If you don't take your responsibility, all you do, you're fighting against God.
Amen. And we don't want to do that.
And I don't want to do that.
Amen.
I want to be responsible for what I... If I do something wrong, I need to confess it and tell God, to ask God to forgive me and turn from it.
Amen.
Which I have done since I ain't smoking and different things. And I praise God. He's still working with me. He hasn't called me home. He's still working with me so I can do something for other people and more people.
Amen.
And more people.
Amen.
And more people.
Amen.
And more people.